Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Dogcast Radio. This week, we speak to Jane Hayes from doglost.co.uk. She tells us about her busy and eventful week and the cases she's handled, and one striking missing dog in particular.
It's a very unusual dog. Apparently, there's only one in the world. And this is a white German Shepherd dwarf dog.
Joe Timko from Canyon View Ranch advises us on dog training.
The best time to give a correction is when he's thinking about doing something, not after he's already done it.
And I guess we all think this about whatever dog breeds we like, but we hear from Kimberly McDonald about the breed I'm certainly smitten with.
They're just a lovely breed, and once you've met one, you're hooked.
Jane Hayes from doglost.co.uk has been waging war against dog crime. And in particular, she's been using the media as a tool to help reunite dogs with their families.
Well, this week we've had quite a few interesting cases in. One actually has been followed by a Channel 4 documentary as it came in whilst they were filming. And then we rushed down to London to assist the people. And it's a very unusual dog. Apparently there's only one in the world. And this is a white German Shepherd dwarf dog. So it's only puppy size, but it looks like a German Shepherd. And it has huge feet and huge ears. So it's very, very distinctive. So whoever stole this dog didn't know what they were stealing, because it's on medication the whole time. It costs a fortune. It's had a full hysterectomy because it's a dwarf.
Mm.
But as such, should be very, very distinctive.
Mm.
Now, the people left it tied outside a shop in Ealing High Street on Saturday. Despite having major coverage in London this weekend, and we had the Evening Standard magazine the night before warning people about this, but still people are doing it.
Yeah.
They came out of the shop to find the dog had gone, so we think it's a pure opportunist type thief. But we've gone down, they've absolutely plastered the whole area with posters, and then last night we went back to the area with the film crew and went into a local pub to ask a few questions, you know, nudge, what sort of people do, this sort of thing. And we were, when we finished filming, a gentleman came up to us from the pub outside and said, look, if I were you, I'd go into Neasden area and in some of the Irish pubs around there. So we went up to Neasden and went into the Irish pubs with a mixed reaction, to put it mildly. Some were very nice, others were, get that camera off me, covering their faces, you know, quite aggressive. And the third one, they wouldn't even let me in. I mean, I've never been thrown out of a pub in my life. I think I'm too smartly dressed. But the result is we had an area and got posters up. And then this morning at 1:20 in the morning, the gentleman got a phone call from a phone box. The guy said, I'm running out of money, call me back, this is the number. He said, I've got your dog, he's tied up with me now. So the owner's getting very excited, phoned back, and the phone box won't accept incoming calls. So he's got onto BT this morning and the police, and they say there's only 9 of these phone boxes, and the number is a Neasden number, and all of them, we believe, are covered by CCTV. So now we've got the time and the number. Hopefully the police will be looking into it. Because we've got a Channel 4 team following us, the police seem to be rather more helpful than they have been in some other cases.
How strange.
So we're hoping for a good result on this one. The fact that they've already made contact, that's the way they normally do it. And then they'll leave it a few days, ring back, so the owner's absolutely all over the place. So we're hoping that one's going to move quickly. And again, this week we've been on Look North about an interesting success story. But I insisted if I did it, I mean, I'm not after publicity, I'm after getting dogs back.
Yes, yeah.
And rather than just do a success story, I want a missing dog on the back of it so we do some help.
Yeah.
And it was lovely because an old couple had lost their 13-year-old Yorkshire Terrier up in Newcastle area, and it had been gone about 3 months. And just a flash of it up on the screen at the end, and within 2 hours they had a knock on their door and they had their dog back. So all in all, it's been quite an active week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yet again, more and more dogs going missing and more people leaving them tied up outside shops.
It's, I mean, it's very, very sad, isn't it?
Oh, it's heartbreaking. When you meet the people face to face, it's bad enough over the phone, but because the crew wanted to follow this case through, I had to go into their home. And, you know, a grown man and his wife are just in tears. And you're having to, you know, you want to promise them you're going to get your dog back, and I promise I'll do everything I can, but sometimes you're not going to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is, people don't appreciate the relationship you have with your dog, and it is like a family member going missing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you can just have no peace, can you, while it's going on?
Not at all. It's like your child. Everybody says the same thing. It's like your child. But it's almost more than having a child. You're expecting the child to get more independent and move away, and you're teaching the child this. With your dog, it's always there.
Mm.
It's always sort of reliant. You always feel responsible for it.
Mm. Yeah. And as you say, sort of, I suppose there must be an amount of guilt that you've allowed it to happen, although that's not, you know,
yes,
the reality, but there is that guilt, isn't there?
Well, this chap yesterday that I went to see, he just felt so guilty he left his dog tied up.
Mm.
But he kept saying, oh, every couple of minutes I came out and I checked, because normally it's been an unusual looking dog, and, you know, people stop and stroke it.
Mm.
He said, I just forgot to look out, and in that split couple of minutes, the dog had gone.
Well, it's frightening, isn't it? I suppose the main message is, don't leave your dogs. Since talking to Jane, I've certainly become more aware of the dangers of having your dog stolen. And although my Labrador Buddy is microchipped, he's not tattooed. Now, I thought this might be a problem because he's a black Labrador, and his ears are black a long way down. But I've taken advice, and apparently you can tattoo a dog with very black ears, and they use a different kind of ink, and I have decided to have him tattooed because it's a very visual sign to a potential thief. Don't bother with this dog, it's going to be too difficult to sell. And hopefully I'll be bringing you the story of how Buddy's tattooing went in a future episode. Jane Hayes and Dog Lost will be at the Pet Log stand at Discover Dogs, and on our website you can find links to Jane's website, doglost.co.uk, and also to the Kennel Club in the UK, and more information about Discover Dogs.
Famous poodle owners include Walt Disney, Ivana Trump, and Winston Churchill.
You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com. Our top training tip this time comes from Joe Timko. He tells us how to train and achieve a successful off command, and why people want their dog to learn it.
When people come over to visit, they don't want their dog jumping all over the guest. They don't want the dog jumping on them when they come in the house. So what we say to get the dog off you is, the command is off. And so if the dog jumps up, the command is going to be off. Ideally, the best case scenario is when you're done training the off command, is when you walk in the house, your dog, here's a scenario, the dog's running to you. You say off as the dog is about 5 feet from you, because at that point the dog's thinking of jumping. So the best time to give a correction is when he's thinking about doing something, not after he's already done it. So as he's thinking, oh, there's mom, I'm going to jump on her, as he's saying, and you say off, boom, you know, the dog settles and doesn't even jump up. Now, to get to that point, the theory behind jumping is, a dog is jumping because it wants attention. And your hands, by you petting the dog, that's the attention, that's the ultimate to the dog. That's what the dog wants. The dog wants your hands on it. So if most owners, what they do is when the dog jumps, the owners put their hands on the dog and hold the dog on the ground, and they say, no, off. So they're giving the dog exactly what it wants. Even though the owner is holding the dog down and saying, no, off, the dog still has hands on it. It's like, yes, that's exactly what I wanted. You're putting your hands on me, and I love it. Even though you're giving it negative attention by saying no, it's still loving your hand. So what the owner wants to do, you've heard people say kneeing the dog. That's not a good term, because kneeing to me makes it sound like you're putting your knee into the dog and ouch. That's not the term we want to use. If the dog jumps up, we want to push him away with the side of our leg, not the knee. too many people, when they think of kneeing the dog, they end up taking the wind out of the dog. They put their knee into it. You can hurt the dog's chest by doing so. So all you want to do is, with the side of your leg, push the dog away just to get him off of you. And this way they can actually push him away without using their hand. And when they push the dog away with their leg, they're saying off. And I like to bring my hand up to my shoulder areas. You know, actually move them away from the dog. Now, if the dog jumps again, we say off and we push him away. He jumps again, we say off and we push him away. Each time we repeat the command, we get a little tougher with our voice and a little tougher with our push away with our leg. So it sounds like this. Off. No, off. No, off. I'm getting a little tougher with my voice without shouting each time. All right? I also notice I'm also prefacing with a negative word. So I say off, and then he doesn't. So then I go to a no off. So they start understanding that no command. All right? And it gets a little, and it taps in more to the dog. So the dog ends up going, oh, man, I don't like that, so I'm not going to jump. Now, here's the key, to wait 5 seconds before you pet your dog. This is the most important part. You want to count to yourself, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Great, the dog stayed off. Now I'm going to pet him, and I'm rewarding the behavior of him keeping all 4 feet on the ground. All right. And if, as I'm petting him, he jumps up, he just blew it. I'm going to take my hands off of him and say, no, off. And I have my hand back up to my shoulders, and I stand tall. I count to 5 again. 1, 2, and he jumps up. Oh, no, off. And I start counting all over again. The secret is not to pet the dog too soon. If you pet the dog too soon after he jumps, he thinks it was the jumping that got you to pet him. That's why you're counting to 5 seconds. 5 seconds of him behaving on the ground. And with consistency like this, as with any training, the main key is follow through. You don't say anything to the dog without following through in consistency. You're always consistent. And with consistency and follow through, the dog trains very easily.
Many thanks to Joe for his wonderful training advice, and we hope to be speaking to him again soon. On our website, you'll find a link to his website, canyonviewranch.com.
Famous Labrador owners include Bill Clinton, Dick Cheney, and Steve Martin.
Now it's over to our husband and wife news team, Kate and Nick, with the Dogcast Radio News.
Hello! Today at the Dogcast Radio News Desk, we have more examples of how far we'll go to show we love our dogs.
Plus some celebrity dog news all the way from Hollywood.
But first, the must-have car for dog owners.
Have you had trouble finding a vehicle where your dog is as comfortable as you? In Japan, Honda have unveiled their WOW concept car, which is designed with dogs' comfort in mind. The car is made from wood and other materials to make the dog feel at home, and can fit either 6 people or 4 people and a dog. The seats convert into dog crates, and even the glove compartment converts into a crate for a small dog. As a final touch, should you have to give a lift to some of those pesky people who object to little doggy odours, many vents bring a constant supply of fresh air.
That sounds fantastic. The only thing they've forgotten is a stereo that they can download each episode of Dogcast Radio to keep everyone entertained on their journey. In Nairn, Scotland, a grandmother had to be rescued from the sea after running in to rescue her dog. Meanwhile, in Maine, USA, a woman and her dog had to be rescued from a 12-foot well. Angela Longley, who normally uses a wheelchair but was walking her dog in a wood using crutches, ended up down the same well her pet had fallen down. Her husband, Michael, who has cerebral palsy and was recovering from a broken leg, drove his truck nearby and discovered them. With yet more bad luck heaped upon them, the truck got stuck and poor Michael had to crawl to the highway to get help. After spending hours in cold water down the well, clinging to her dog, Angela was treated for hypothermia, and they're all recovering now.
Back in Scotland, in Aberdeen, Jan Farry and Graham Guyon were having trouble planning their wedding. You know when whoever you choose as your attendants, best man, bridesmaid and so on, someone will be offended. Well, they found a novel way to solve the problem. They turned to their three beloved dogs. The canines rose to the occasion, and the two boxers, Toby and Bill, and their border collie Kinty, became best man, page boy, and ring bearer. Toby also gave the bride away.
Good job he wasn't a retriever. He'd have kept trying to fetch her back again. Now, it seems that it's not just us ordinary folk that have dog problems. The stars do too. In June, Elizabeth Taylor's treasured companion Sugar, the Maltese terrier, died. She was obviously sadly missed, and the search was soon on to find another canine companion to ease the pain of the loss. Amazingly, with the help of her personal assistant, Sugar's great-great-great-niece, a puppy called Daisy, was tracked down with a breeder in Somerset in the UK. Daisy went to live with Elizabeth, and apparently the two are now inseparable.
Shirley MacLaine is convinced that she and her dog Terry knew each other in a past life and have such a deep connection that they have co-written a book, Out on a Leash, Exploring the Nature of Reality and Love. If any listeners would be interested in reading the book, or even if any of you just don't plain believe us, there is a link on the website where you can find out more about Shirley and Terry's book.
On that note, did you know that Shirley once said, "The more I know of men, the more I love my dog"?
Well, I don't know if I'm completely with her on that one. Despite all the mess, hair shedding and occasional bad behaviour, I have to say, I quite like having you about the place.
Oh, thank you. Now, you've probably seen the Osborne family struggling with the issue of toilet training their dogs. Well, now, Rod Stewart has fallen foul of this problem. Rod is expecting his seventh child soon, and it now seems his daughter Kimberly's dog prefers toileting on the carpet rather than outside.
Perhaps he should consider using some of the new baby's diapers for the dog. Well, that's it from me, Kate.
And from me, Nick.
At Dogcast Radio News.
Famous Yorkshire Terrier owners include Audrey Hepburn, Joan Rivers, Justin Timberlake and Mariah Carey.
I waited many years until the time was right for me in my personal life. When my daughter was old enough, I was lucky enough not to be going out to work full time, till it was right for me to get a dog. And that's when Buddy, the Black Labrador, came to live with us. It was after taking Buddy with us to some friends who had dogs of their own, and seeing Buddy interact with them and the great fun they had racing round and playing together, that I decided that I would really like to have a second dog for myself and as a playmate for Buddy. And so I began researching the breed that I thought would complement our situation well. I have a preference for larger dogs. I like a shorter coat. I like a quite playful nature. And if the dog has a reputation of being quite good with children, although obviously I know it's the environment in which he lives, the amount of training and socialisation that the dog gets that brings out that temperament, that would be helpful. Also, I wanted a dog with not too short a lifespan. So I sat at my computer, I read my books and I did my research, and the breed that I settled on was the Greater Swiss Mountain Dog. I absolutely fell in love with this breed, and I felt sure that this was the perfect breed that would complement the dog we had already and our family. Then I started to look for breeders in the UK, and there were none because there were no Greater Swiss Mountain Dogs in the UK at that point. So it was with great excitement that when I was reading the magazine Dogs Today, I read that Kimberly MacDonald, a Rottweiler breeder, was going to import some dogs into the country and start breeding. I contacted Kimberly, and I think we were on the phone for about an hour on the first occasion. Kimberly is someone who's doing the best job she possibly can as a breeder with the Rotties, and she will do it with the Swisses. She's making the most of this great opportunity to bring a breed into the UK from the start and to try and regulate and monitor and eradicate any health problems there might be and really give the Greater Swiss Mountain Dog, the Swissie as they're affectionately known, the best start they can in the UK. Let's hear from Kimberly about her plans to start breeding Swissies in the UK. First of all, what's a Swissie like?
They look like a Bernese Mountain Dog, except with a short coat. So they're the tricolour, mm-hmm. The black, brown and the white, very, very similar markings. And they're a little bit taller than a Bernese Mountain Dog, and they're actually the oldest Swiss breed. They're behind the Bernese, behind the Rottweiler, and the St. Bernards were all mixed in years and years ago, and their character is absolutely superb. They're a farm dog, mostly, and they're not exactly a guarding dog, but they do. They're a they can herd, they can weight pull, they can cart, they can do working abilities as well as showing, and they're an all-round dog, but they're very loyal to the family, and very forgiving with the children and the family and everything, and you know, somebody, I've heard stories, you know, the books that I've read over my research of Swissies going out and finding people in Switzerland in the snow and things, and alerting, you know, the town or the next house to it. You know, and they're just a lovely breed, and once you've met one, you're hooked.
Yes.
Just like I was with the Rots.
When did you meet your first Swissie?
Oh, gosh, it must have been over 10 years ago. It was in upstate New York when I was visiting my friend, and the kids were out playing with this big tri-coloured short-coated dog in the snow, and he was pulling their sledge.
Oh.
And I just looked, the kids were just coming and going with this dog, and he was just up for it all the time, bless him. And he was absolutely superb, and I got to stroke him, and, you know, I asked what he was, and the owners, you know, told us, and I'd never heard of him before. So that's really when I started to see it, you know, look into them and find out more about them.
Now, in the UK, are there any Swisses?
There are two currently.
Mm-hmm.
One has come in from Norway,
mm-hmm.
and is up in Norfolk, a male. I think he's, he must be 10 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a female come in from the Slovakia? I think it's Slovakian Republic, from a breeder over there, and she is up in Shropshire.
Right.
With a lady up there.
So you will be bringing some of the first Swisses into the UK?
Yes, I'll be bringing a male in from Switzerland, and then a female. She's about to be born in America, so it's all starting to happen.
Yeah. So what was it that made you decide to bring them into the UK?
For me personally, because it was the only way forward to get one in. But since getting into the breed and researching them and finding more and more about them, I've done an article for... I think it was Dogs World magazine back in 2 years ago. I've done a little one for Dogs Today magazine that went out earlier this year, and we've had lots of email and internet response from the Dog World article 2 years ago, a lot from Bernese people as well as the general public, from all over the UK and Ireland and the Channel Islands. And after I've explained all the pets passport information to everybody, they all go, oh gosh, 10 months, we have to wait that long. And I said, well, I've waited just over 6 years for mine, so, you know, and it is time, and it does, but it's finding the breeders that will keep the puppies for that length of time, because on the pet passport, that's what has to happen. They have to stay with their breeder for almost 10 months, because they have to have a microchip, they have to have normal boosters and their wormers and ticking and everything else, and then they have to go through having a rabies shot, and then a month later a blood test, and then 6 months from the date of that blood test is when they can come to the UK.
So it's a long process, even when you find the right dog,
yes,
isn't it?
And the breeders, you know, and most of them will say no, because if they're keeping a puppy themselves, you can imagine trying to rear two puppies is going to be hard work, let alone if you're asked to rear more than that, and it's just the expense and everything else involved on top of that. And I, as a breeder of Rotties, know what it's like when you're sending dogs abroad, because I've sent to Europe and to America, and you have to keep them until they're sort of 12 weeks, whereas those breeders are going to have to keep them for 10 months. And it's a lot, you know, they've got to socialise their own, they've got to socialise yours, you've got to have preliminary hip, elbow, and shoulder x-rays done. The US will do eyes for you, and, you know, there is a lot involved. And it's not just that either. You know, they've got to take them out to training clubs. They'll show them for you out there in the countries. And also, they have to feed them and do all the things that you would do if you're going to have a puppy right from the word go.
So when the dogs finally get here, how easy to breed are Swissies?
They're not. they do have problems, and they're not for the faint-hearted. They are not something that can just be bred willy-nilly. You're lucky in the first instance if you get a successful mating, because some of the bitches don't accept stud dogs. If you get a successful mating and you then wait 5 weeks to get your scan done, and you see that your Swissie is in whelp, then that's okay. But then you've got to get her from 5 weeks to the 9 weeks. And if that all goes smoothly, the delivery itself can be awful because they can end up having to have C-sections the majority of the time. Sometimes the puppies are too big. The lady in America, she's had different things happen to her over the years, and I've been there with her the last year or so. And basically, you know, sometimes the puppies are too big, so the uterus turns in on itself. So that's a C-section straight away. Sometimes, you know, when they have a C-section, the milk can take up to 10 days to kick in, which means you've got to hand rear and feed every couple of hours. And if you've got a big litter, you know, that isn't just for your normal pet people to take on board. No. It isn't even for a puppy farmer, because they just would not do that.
No.
So, and they aren't easy. And if your bitch doesn't accept your stud dog for any reason, then the chances of you getting her in whelp are very, very slim. You can do the artificial insemination, but I wouldn't go that route. I always think nature knows best.
So when are you hoping that the dogs might arrive?
They will arrive in 2006, so basically they'll come here when they're almost 10 months old, so you're probably looking at early summer next year.
Right, and then you'll have to do the health checks with those dogs?
Yes, the health checks here. We only have, under the BVA scheme, we only have hips and elbows currently. The KC and the BVA are talking only about shoulders at the moment, so I will have to have the shoulder x-rays taken and then sent to Switzerland to actually go through their scheme to be scored.
Right.
But they, and I may even do eyes as well, but it's not a big thing for Swissies, it's not the main things. They will also go through a character test.
So
you can't do any of this till they reach about 14 months old. And then you can't breed from Swissies until they're two and a half, because they're a bit like a Rottie with their mental state and physical state. They need all that time because they're a big dog to mature and to grow in both aspects.
So when can we hope for a breeding?
Oh gosh, I don't know, late 2007 or 2008 probably. But it all depends. If, you know, in the meantime, if either one of them says, or they've had something come back, or, you know, and it's suitable to come to the UK, then I might take that on board too. But there are other people that are interested like me, but most want baby puppies, and I don't blame them, because, you know, it's great to have a baby puppy. And one day I'll get a baby puppy to be on my own. But I have to get them at 10 months at the moment under the current import scheme.
So. And have you had much interest for the baby puppies? Are there people?
Yes, there are a few. We've got over 9 now.
Smashy, yeah. In the UK, is the Swissie recognised as a breed, or are you making moves in that direction?
No, they're not recognised. Even though they're the oldest Swiss breed, they are not recognised. They are under the FCI everywhere else, including Ireland, but not in the UK and Canada. I have put together a portfolio, because the Kennel Club have a list with questions on that you have to submit to their committee. Their committee only meets, I think it's 4 times a year, if that, and they are still backlogged with information from other breeds from last year to be recognised. So at the moment, as it stands, the portfolio was submitted in April, and the next time that it's going to get looked at with a load of others is October, November this year.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job, so let's hope that the long journey is soon at an end. We wish you lots of luck.
Thanks.
Kimberley's website with details about the Rottweilers and the Swissies can be found at homepage.ntlworld.com/Kimberley.Macdonald1. And as ever, there's a link on our website to her website. We'll be speaking to Kimberley, hopefully during November, about how the plans are progressing for the Swissies she hopes one day to import into the UK. You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com.
Famous pug owners include Billy Joel, Paula Abdul, and Mickey Rourke.
Buddy's Diary.
Hello, Buddy the Black Labrador here. I would like to share with you some actual entries from my diary during the last month. Monday, 3rd of October, chased squirrel out of garden. Well, I was having a snooze, woke to see a squirrel tail flashing out of the garden. So I went and had a run round and a bark to make absolutely sure he'd gone. Scratched a bit, had a sleep, went for a walk. Tuesday, 4th of October, went to park for walk. I was frequently forced to divert from walking sniffing activities to retrieve a tennis ball from the lake that my people kept losing in there. You'd think they'd learn to be more careful, but no, they kept on, so in I'd have to go. Finally, we lost the tennis ball. It wasn't my fault. It went out too far. So I stood and whined, but it wouldn't come back. It's not that I can't swim. I'm really brave. I get my face wet and everything. I just strongly prefer all 4 feet on the floor. Wednesday, 5th of October. Barked a postman. Well, I was having a snooze when the noise of letters coming through the door woke me. By the time I got to the window, he was at the end of the drive, but I had a good bark just to make sure he knows there's a Labrador here to play with. Thursday, 6th of October. Unusually hungry today. Stared at my people a lot to get the message over. They said things like, "You've just had biscuits, give it a rest." And, "It's not dinner time yet." And, "You know what the vet said about Labradors running to fat." That blooming vet, I'd like to tell her what I think. Every time we go, I plan to have words with her. Then, when the moment comes, I forget all about it, roll on my back and wave my legs in the air. It's very frustrating being so nice, but I can't help it. Friday, 7th of October. Good day. Children ran for tea. I lay quietly under the table, eating all the bits they'd dropped. They were really messy. It was great. When they'd finished, my people got out the vacuum to clear up the mess and were amazed to find not a crumb. Couldn't get much sleep with all the racket of the kids running round, but I don't mind. I had a good run round too. Fell asleep on my bed as the visitors walked out of the door. I hope you enjoyed that insight into my life, but it doesn't give you the whole picture of my role in the pack. I have a very important place in my pack, and more than that, I have a very important relationship with each of the others in my pack. Let me explain. With the tall female one, she likes me to call her Mum. But she's mostly in charge of food and cuddles, so I think of her as food and cuddles. Anyway, when she comes downstairs, first thing in the morning, for example, we have a little chat. Now, I don't actually say much, but I am a great conversationalist. It goes like this. "Morning, buddy. How are you?" I jump up and down in excitement at seeing her. "Has he been on his own all night?" I roll on my back for a tummy tickle. "Did he miss his mummy, then? His mummy missed him." I lick her hand. "Shall we go and have coffee? Shall we put the kettle on? Yes, that would be nice, wouldn't it?" I wag my tail and wriggle a bit. "Do I know a dog who wants some breakfast?" I leap up and down again. "Come on then. Yes, it's a nice day, buddy. You're always so positive. Good dog." Now, you may have noticed I haven't actually said a word. She's under the impression we've had a lovely conversation. Beautiful. My tall male person the others refer to as Dad. However, from my point of view, he mainly covers wrestling and walking me when it's raining, so I think of him as wrestling in the wet. Sometimes I can see him sitting, feeling a bit tense, so I go over and start wrestling his leg. Often he pretends to get more tense now, and he says, "Oh, buddy, no, leave me alone." He says it quietly because he doesn't get cross really. He just rolls his eyes and tuts. Anyway, I carry on wrestling with enthusiasm until he starts laughing at me and joins in, and by that time he's relaxed. Job done. Then, if it's raining, he gets a lovely walk too. My little female person they call Jenny. She's great, I love her lots. She's always ready to play, and we spend lots of time lying on the floor watching television. She'll laugh, and I stick my tongue out and pant a bit. I haven't got a clue what's going on in the programme. I'm usually just a bit hot from cuddling. But she thinks I'm laughing with her, so I don't tell her otherwise. Now, the best thing is, her hands often smell and taste of crisps. And best of all, she lets me lick them. The perfect relationship. Tastes of food and doesn't mind being licked. That's what I call her. And just between me and you, she's my favourite. You must by now be beginning to see how I interact with my pack. The only thing puzzling me now is what they call me. Probably it's little furry love moppet, or possibly licks and companionship, or maybe best dog in the world ever. Actually, it might just be never full up food pit, or steals your slippers given half a chance, or even stop that barking into the middle of the night. Don't worry, they love me really. Well, till next time.
Famous crossbreed owners include Drew Barrymore, Sandra Bullock, Queen Elizabeth II of England, and Steve Irwin.
The website I'd like to recommend to you this time is www.dog-play.com. This is a huge website, lots and lots of things to discover, lots of different ways to have fun with your dog, and also what intrigued me, as well as the huge selection of activities you can enjoy, there is a section on the right of the website's own dogs. And this is interesting, it's moving at times, it's of interest to anyone who enjoys dogs. The journey we make when we let a dog into our hearts and where that sometimes takes us. For anyone who's into dogs, this site will have something that you will find interesting or useful or touching. There's even a section for children, so everyone can find something here. That's www.dog-play.com. And there's a link on our website to this site. Another website, which this isn't so much a review as just a please go and have a look at this website. This is www.heathermills.org. On this website, you will find very disturbing material about the use of dog and cat fur and how that fur is obtained. It is disturbing, but wherever you live in the world, please go and look at this website, be upset, sign the petition, download the letters, and let's stop this disgusting practice. www.heathermills.org. Go and check it out, you'll be as outraged as I was. Now, on a lighter note, the competition we set, stop sending your entries into that, we have a winner. It's Hattie from the UK. Her suggestion was, if you cross a Pekingese with a husky, do you get a pesky, a dog that won't leave you alone? Well, Hattie, well done, and a Dogcast Radio t-shirt is on the way to you. Now, dog owners in Italy are finding themselves strictly regulated by laws. In Turin, in April, a law was passed which made it obligatory for you to walk your dog at least 3 times a day on pain of a fine of €500. But this week, in October, in Rome, they've also passed a law saying you must regularly exercise your dog, and also they will not tolerate docking of tail or ears for aesthetic reasons. What do you think about that? Do you welcome the fact that dogs are being protected by law, or do you think lawmakers should mind their own business? It's up to dog owners how well we look after our dogs. We know them best. If any of our listeners from Italy would like to contact us and let us know what they think, that would be particularly welcome. But what are the laws on dogs where you live, and have you fallen foul of them? Do you approve of them? Let us know. The addresses will be at the end of the programme. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio. If you'd like to contact us wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us by phone from the UK on 0121 288 0922. If you're in the US, you can contact us on our New York number, which is 315 849 2022. From anywhere else in the world, you'll need your international exit code and then 44121 288 0922. If you have a Skype phone, you can contact us with the ID Dogcast Radio, that's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact us at julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these details can be found on our website, www.dogcastradio.com. And the final word goes to Jenny. Hey, Jane.
What?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ralph.
Ralph who?
Ralph! 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 I'm your dog.
Oh, come on, I've got a better one than that. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Gopher.
Gopher who?
Go for a walk with your dog. Go on.